All right, we're starting at pages 222 and 223. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the vision of the new heaven and the new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Yes, sir. Well, if the first earth and heaven is literal, that has to be literal.
Okay, my wife's not happy about that.
No? Her kayak. Oh, her kayak? Well, there will be some living water. But what we'll do is just try to find her more things to do. We'll keep her busy in heaven and... So in verses 2 through 8, the vision of New Jerusalem. And I just saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One of the many instances where the New Jerusalem is compared to as a bride of Christ. This would be the bride of Christ. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That promise that many people hold to, Isaiah 25, verse 8. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. These are the words believers are to hold to, not because the Bible says so, but because God says they are true and they are faithful, they will come to pass. And he said unto me, it is done. Again, same word for it is finished. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. These are phrases that are attributed to be of God. Isaiah 44, 6 and Isaiah 48, 12. That's Isaiah 44, 6 and Isaiah 48, 12. I'm Alpha and Omega, which means he is, as it says, the beginning and the end of everything and everything in between. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. By the way, these phrases, these titles that God is giving from the throne, it's also referred to Jesus in chapter 22, verse 13. Same phrases, making reference to his deity. So God says, I will give the one who is thirsting from the fountain of the water of life freely, means without cost. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Now the term he that overcomes, it sounds like a challenge, sounds like what would be subjunctive, a possibility, if you do it. If you're one of those, in the Greek text, it is the one who is overcoming. Back in chapters 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches, at the end of each message, the same phrase is found, to the one who overcomes, he will receive a reward. But again, it's present participle, the one who is overcoming. All believers, all genuine born-again believers are pictured in the scriptures as overcomers. It's impossible to not overcome. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, but we have overcome them. Perfect tense. It's already done. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if Christ is always in me from the very second that I receive Christ, and he'll be there throughout eternity, then it'll be impossible for me not to overcome. Because he overcomes and has overcome. So to the one who is overcoming shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, it's the word coward. But the coward and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, that's immoral people, sorcerers, that's the word pharmakeia for drugs, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, these descriptions are not acts that people commit. These are people. A person who is a coward, a person who is an unbeliever. And whenever you find these adjectives or nouns that describe a person's lifestyle or spiritual condition, it's not what a person does, it's who a person is. They will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Verses 9 through 27, the description of New Jerusalem. We just had the vision of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, but now we get some specifics. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the Lamb's wife. Who would that be? It'd be the church, all believers. And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain. Obviously, this is in the spirit realm because geographically he's still on the island of Patmos. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto. Remember I told you those little catchphrases. To him, this is like or as, using human terms, like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city, New Jerusalem, is the wife of the Lamb, the body of Christ. It is a city made up. It is clear as crystal. Any colors seen in the city, it's because the glory of God, we're told that in verse 11, the glory of God is in the midst of this city, and the glory of God is radiating out through this crystal-like city. We have spiritual bodies, so it's transparent, like crystal. And so all colors that we see are going to be like a prism. When you see the light shine through crystal, it comes out in various colors. And that's what he's presenting to us here. And this city had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 12 gates. Over each gate, the name of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. South, 3 gates. And the west, 3 gates. you want to do some in-depth study, what he's picturing for us is an overview, a top view, looking down upon the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness, as the tribes camped out around the tabernacle. He's seeing the same thing in the new city, Jerusalem, made up in the same way. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Ephesians 2:20, Paul tells the Gentiles that we are now one with the Jews who believe, and that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All of these symbolically represent the works. Remember, I told you from a Jewish standpoint that whenever you go in someone's name, it's for that person and his characteristics. So when it talks about the 12 foundations being the 12 apostles, all their work, all of God's work through the 12 apostles, back then and even now, we're studying from one of the 12 apostles. All of that work, the work of God and the people of God, are going to make up this great city. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lies four square. Name sound familiar? Four square? Well, the problem is, and you'll see when we get through here, this, he's either describing a cube or a pyramid, but not a square. And the city lies four squared or four cornered, and the length is as large as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs or 12,000 stadia, 607 feet per stadia. 12,000 stadia, we're measuring in each direction 1,380 feet. I guess that is. In each direction, the length, the breadth, and the height are all equal. And he measured the wall. This would be its thickness. 144 cubits. That would be 72 yards wide. Wider than some of our freeways. To the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So the angel's measuring, but it's man's measurements that are given to us. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. What's jasper? It's the diamond. It's the clearest crystal that we just saw. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. How can it be gold if it's clear glass? It's because the glory of God is radiating through this crystal-like or transparent glass-like structure, and it comes out in the appearance of gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And you might want to write these down. I'm going to give you the colors. Not that it'll make any difference to you, but just so you have them. All manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. That would be the diamond. The second, sapphire. That would be blue. The third, chalcedony. That's an agate that is blue with colored stripes. Blue with colored stripes. Fourth is the emerald, bright green. Fifth, sardonyx, red with white stripes. Red with white stripes. Sixth, sardius. Those are different shades of red. The sardius, different shades of red. The seventh, chrysolite, is yellow. Eighth is the beryl, and it's got a shades of green, yellow, and blue mixed. Green, yellow, and blue. The ninth is the topaz. That's a yellow-green color. The tenth is the chrysoprasus. That is gold tint to it. The 11th is jacinth. It's blue or violet color. And the 12th is the amethyst, and that is purple. Then he says in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate, sequential, was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So it's like he saw a transparency there, like glass, but he saw gold coming through the streets of the city. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. So here's the glory of God manifesting itself or himself throughout this transparent city that is called the Bride of Christ. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Why is that? Because God did that through them. God gave them the glory and honor as leaders and kings. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, that's the glory of God and the work of God that's been done throughout all the nations. And there shall in no wise, literally a double negative, it's impossible for to enter into it anything that is defiled, neither anything that works abomination, or lives a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Notice the two difference. The people who are saved are in the Lamb's book of life. The people who are not saved are not in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22. The vision of the water and tree of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Again, it's not blue, it's clear. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I think somebody might interpret that, the pure river of water. The word for water is kayak. No. Take that home, make your wife happy. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side, so you can see this is symbolic, The tree of life is on both sides of the city, street, with the street going right down the middle. So on either side of the river, there is a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The word healing is where we get a word therapeutic from. It represents that in heaven, there'll be no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, but it will be a very healthy place to be. And there shall be no more curse. Remember in Genesis chapter 3 that the Adam and Eve were chased out of the garden because of their sin so that they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever. So the curse is removed. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The last section of the book of Revelation, that was the end of part 3 from chapter 4, verse 1, up through 22, verse 5. Revelation 22, verses 6 to 21, the promises to all that hear, that is, pay attention to. Revelation 22, 6 to 21, the conclusion. Verses 6 to 7, the proclamation of blessing. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must happen in a short period of time. A repeat of verse 1 of chapter 1. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. The word shortly means when it happens in a short amount of time. It doesn't mean it's going to happen soon. But when it does happen, it'll happen in quickness, short amount of time. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now the word keeps, as I've told you before, there are several words for to keep. This is not the word to do or to make. This is a word that is used for to be on guard. And this particular word specifically is to be on guard from being invaded from the outside. And so to keep the words of this prophecy is to be on guard and don't let anything, any influence in this earthly life take you away from the book of Revelation and what its message is. Remember that the book of Revelation is God's final message to his church. And we'll see that warning in a moment. But the book is called prophecy. Verses 8 through 11, the instructions of the angel. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Probably a natural response after going through all of this, being able to see all of this, experience all of this in spirit. He falls down to worship the feet of the angel. Then he says unto me, see thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. He gives a command, worship God. Why would an angel say this? At the end of Hebrews chapter 1, it says the angels are ministering spirits to those who belong to Christ, to those who are saved. So the angels see themselves as part of God's work among us. And so He says, don't worship me. I'm just like a messenger, just like you are, but rather worship God. That's kind of interesting because even from the Old Testament, you cannot worship anyone but God. That's blasphemy to give worship to anybody but God. But yet after the resurrection of Christ in John chapter 20, when he appeared to the disciples behind closed doors and Thomas was with them, Thomas sees him and says, my Lord and my God. Well, if he's not Lord and God, it's blasphemy. Jesus didn't tell him, hey, you shouldn't have said that, Thomas. I'm just the Son. I'm not God. No, he received Thomas's worship because he is God. Worship him. And he says unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. After all of this, basically John says what we just said a little earlier, that it's very teaching in the Bible. The person who's going to be corrupt, they're still going to be corrupt no matter what. The person who has a heart for the Lord, they might be involved in sin and corruption, but when they hear the gospel, when they have a heart response to God's Spirit convicting them of their need of Christ, they'll be righteous and they'll be holy. So it's basically just a statement right across the board. Whatever you're going to be is what you're going to be. Corrupt, unbelieving, or righteous and holy. Verses 12 to 15, the provision of rewards. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. We studied this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 17, a very important piece of scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 17, where Paul says that we will all stand before the Bema seat of Christ. This is Bema in Greek. It's not the white throne judgment, as we just read in chapter 20, but it's the Bema seat, where our works will be tested as to what sort it is. We're going to be tested with fire. It won't be the lake of fire, but we're going to pass through fire, and our reward will be whatever's left over after the fire burns everything else. Paul says we will suffer loss. Things will be burned that are just human and fleshy and not the Spirit of God at all. And our reward will be as we come through the fire. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. See, here's the Lord. He says, I'm coming quickly. And he takes the titles that God gives to himself from the Old Testament in Isaiah 44, verse 6. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, that is outside, are dogs and sorcerers, pharmakeia, drug users, and whoremongers, it's the word pornography, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes or does a lie. A lot of things that we're involved with in life is dependent upon the lie. A good salesman knows how to work the lie to make it seem true. Got to be careful. Verses 16 and 17, the invitation of Christ. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. First of all, he is the fulfillment of the Messiah who is to come through David. 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16. That's 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. And he says he is the bright and morning star. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Messiah would be as a star. Numbers 24:17. Numbers 24:17. And also when we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we also saw this where Peter alluded to Jesus as that star, that morning star. He says, I am the bright and morning star, that star that appears at sunrise. 2 Peter 1:19. And Numbers 24:17 for the prophecy. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever is willing, desiring, let him take the water of life freely. It's an invitation from Christ. Then the precautions for all that hear, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that hears these words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. There are no more new prophecies after the book of Revelation. Anyone adding more is adding to the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, doesn't say book of the Lamb, take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You don't want to take away from the book of Revelation and make it be something else other than what it is. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The benediction, verses 20 and 21. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. The word surely is the word yea. Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. Then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And again, as with all the letters, notice the word be is in italics because it's not in the original. It's not a wish or a prayer. It is a statement of fact. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you all. And then the final, amen. And that concludes Revelation. That concludes our series, Survey of the New Testament, which was supposed to take a year. So I apologize for taking so long. I know some people have dropped out because it was going to take longer than was announced. But on the other hand, you got three times more of the material you would have gotten had I gone through that fast. But for me to take 3 years, that's fast. There's a lot of things I wanted to go back and take. All right, let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and thanks. Your word and your spirit is an encouragement to us because life can be discouraging. Life is difficult, as you know, as you sympathize with our weaknesses. But we're so thankful that you uphold us, you cause us to overcome, And you have given us a birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That in spite of our difficulties here, we have such a glorious future to look forward to. And as Paul said, it's not even a comparison to the suffering we have here to our eternity forever with Christ. We pray that you would continue to use your word and the studies that we've had together as an instruction and as an encouragement to us as we finish out our pilgrimage here on earth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.